Ramsey TV.
Do I look hot? Yeah, I feel hot. I'm all kinds of sweaty over here. And it's not hot in Fort Lauderdale, but I actually had the heat on today, which is actually rare. Probably only, you don't want to know. I feel sorry, you know, I lived up north for 50 years. I know what it's like up there. I know it's rough. But the temperature among the celestials is going to be an ideal 72 degrees with low humidity. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I hope you noticed over the weekend I released, finally, Martin Zender Goes to Chicago. That's right, I go to Chicago. A film I made with my son in 2007. It's the first great enterprise Dan Sheridan and I embarked upon. And it has been available in parts on YouTube, like 8 parts at low def. And I've been wanting to get it in high def in one part for a long time, but I'm a professional procrastinator. But I finally got it done, and I released it Saturday night. If you haven't seen it, I'm linking to it down here. It's very cinematic. My son did, we edited it together after we shot it, but I think you'll find it entertaining. It's very cinematic. There's some very cool stuff there. It's artistically done, and I credit my son with that, who in this film, he calls himself Ted Stevens, but that's my boy, Ted Stevens. So please watch it, comment. It was the beginning of a great career for Dan and me, and if you don't know, we made shows in Indianapolis. It's called the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show, over 100 shows, I think 115. Stellar stuff. I will link to that down here too. You will see the page right there. You will see the page that will take you to all 115 or whatever shows that we recorded at a radio station in Indianapolis. In this movie, Martin, this is a movie. This is a film. It's not a video. This is a film. In the film, Martin Zender Goes to Chicago, you will see us at another Christian radio station, the largest Christian radio station in Chicago. Dan invited me up there. So we're going to rock this town. I said, have you taught on the salvation of all yet? He says, well, no, not yet. I said, what are you waiting for? So he goes, come on up. Let's blow the house up. So I went up there for a 3-night stand. Well, you'll see what happened. But as you watch this, everything's happening. Everything's happening live. You're watching things as they develop. The ending of that film, I promise you, my son and I were working on it. I wasn't sure how it was going to end. And then I got a call from Dan, and you're going to see what happened, and it was the perfect ending. I said, well, there's my ending right there, and it's pretty phenomenal. It's all real, by the way. The phone call you hear from the woman, it was taken from Dan's answering machine. And the other phone call was also taken from Dan's answering machine. So, Martin Zender Goes to Chicago. Watch it. From 2007. Oh, man, it's an eon ago. 13 years ago, actually, but it seems like an eon. I told you I had a rant that I needed to catch up with. I got a great scriptural topic here. It's about even if God won't. Maybe I'll call it even if God won't. No, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego principle. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what I'm going to call it, but I'm going to get to it on this show. One of my rants is I'm seeing more and more people during my run in the mornings up to the beach and back. They're wearing these masks. They're wearing them when they're bicycling and running by themselves. They'll be passing me on the sidewalk and they'll pull their masks up. But what really gets me is these people bicycling, these athletes, and they're wearing masks, and it's warm, in some cases hot, and they're going full speed, and they're just breathing in their own carbon dioxide. Yeah, that's what it is. And I'm thinking, these people are nuts. They don't have to be doing this. This is not required to wear masks outside. I get so upset. I'm sorry. I'm going to reveal a very dark side of me right now, but it's like I just was so angry that people in the world are so easily deceived, and we know this is going to become a problem. And so I had this terrible thought. I'm going to share. I don't know. I shouldn't even share this with you, but there's a dark side of me, I guess. I just said, you know what? That guy like should just die from his own carbon dioxide poisoning. Maybe that'll teach him a lesson. Like by the end of the week, just let him perish by his own stupidity. And then I thought, whoa, where did that come from? Stop it. This is what Jesus died for, thoughts like this. Okay, so I'm confessing it to you. If that helps you in some way. Somebody asked me recently, did Jesus Christ die for our thoughts? It's like, yeah, that's one of the main things he died for, our thoughts. So I put that thought on the cross, and then the better side of me, the better part of me, I'm going to share this with you too, came out, and it's like, well, I hope the guy lives at least to Easter so he can celebrate Easter with his family. Yeah, I wanted to bring it, all the way around on that one. Now, people are asking me, when are you going to make a political talk, Martin? Well, I will give a major political talk on January 21st. But right now, I will make a political statement, a general statement, a broad statement without commentary. If you read between the lines, you will read a lot. Okay? Even for Americans, there are probably parts of the Declaration of Independence that they're not aware of. For those of you watching from other countries, and there are a lot of you, I'm going to read a portion of our Declaration of Independence. We declared independence from England. Yes, we were under King George. Was it the third? King George the third? The first? The second? The fourth? I don't know. One of the Georges. This was a big risk because we were basically committing treason against England, our mother country. So you either had to make it work or die. Make it work or die. Like Ben Franklin said, we all have to hang together or we will all hang together. Is this still applicable today? Oh, yes. And that's the only comment I'll make. And now I will quote a section of the Declaration of Independence. This is my political statement for now. In Congress, July 4th, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Here it comes. My only comment. Here it comes. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. That is my political comment for today. Now, we know the story of Daniel and the three famous Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My wife used to tell me that her dad used to use that story to send them off to bed for the night. I said, how did he do that? He would say, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed you go. And off they would scamper to bed. So these three Hebrew boys were threatened. All of the peoples of Babylon were threatened by none other than Nebuchadnezzar, who demanded that everyone bow down to an image that he had made. It was a fine image, very statuesque. In fact, it was a statue. It was a golden image, I think. What was this thing made of? Golden. It was a golden image. You are ordered, nations, peoples, leagues, language groups, as soon as you shall hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon. Don't know what a trigon is. I think it goes something like this. That's the trigon. The psalteries in concert. All sorts of music. In fact, that's what it says. The concordant version. All sorts of music. I got home and down, making nothing but you got the ball up, you can't hit. Early to rise now, early in sack. Anyway, all sorts of music. You shall fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall in the same hour, and we will check our watches, be heaved, very rude, heaved into the midst of a glowing, flaming furnace. Can't you just, like, place people in there? You have to heave them in. It's very rude. Very rude to heave people into the midst of a glowing, flaming furnace. I would think you'd be more polite about it, but we're dealing with Nebuchadnezzar here before his big switcheroo, before he was humbled. But anyway, so everybody did it. Well, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed you go. There are the Judean masters, they whom you assigned. It was reported. There were a bunch of squealers out there. They're the Judean masters. See, these guys were smart. To the Judean masters, they whom you assigned over the administration of the province of Babylon. Oh, yeah, these are smart guys coming from Israel, from Jerusalem to Babylon. Namely, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed you go. These masters did not act on your decree. Ooh, they heard that. And they didn't. They heard John Denver. All sorts of music. Thank God I'm a country boy. And they did not act on your decree, O king. They are not serving your Elohim and are not worshiping the golden image that you set up. What are you going to do about it? Ooh, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 13. By the way, I am in Daniel 3, and this is verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in anger and fury, ordered to bring hither Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These Judean masters were brought hither before the king. Nebuchadnezzar was responding and saying to them, is it intentional? He's given them a chance. Is it intentional, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you are not serving my Elohim and are not worshiping the golden image that I set up? Am I hearing correctly? Did you do this on purpose, or was it like you just had, like, stiff knees or something? What? Was this intentional? Now, if you are ready, then, as soon as you... I'm going to give you another chance. If you're ready, then, if you got your knees lubed up, okay? As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, and the trigon, the psalteries in concert, all sorts of music, including laugh on farm music. Anyway, when you hear that, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that I made. If you should not worship in the same hour, you shall be heaved. At which point they would have looked, heaved? Why is that necessary? Nevertheless, you shall be heaved into the midst of the glowing, flaming furnace. And who is that Eloah that shall deliver you from my hands? Oh, you arrogant son of a bitch. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to reply to you concerning this rescript. If it is to be our Eloah in the heavens, whom we are serving, I could tell you about that term, Eloah, but for another time. This is basically the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-Bethlehem form. Okay, if it is to be, because El is God, Elohim, or the plural Eloah, there's some good stuff there, maybe next time. If it is to be our Eloah in the heavens whom we are serving, he is able to deliver us from a glowing, flaming furnace, and any other kind of furnace, if you must know. And from your hand, O king, shall he deliver us. But if not, is this wavering here? No. It's just an admittance that these guys are mortals. They have confidence in their God. They know that he is able to deliver them, and they confidently state that he will deliver us. Oh, you seem pretty confident. Yes, we are. He will deliver us. But if he doesn't, okay, is there anything wrong with that? Does that mean they falter? Does that mean they don't trust their God? No, it just means that they're mortal, and they're not sure what he's going to do in this instance. Simple as that. If not, let it be known to you, O king, that your Elohim are not those we are serving. See, Elohim's a plural. The plural, Eloah, is Christ. Okay. The Elohim are the two subjectors. Eloah is two subjector, and El is subjector. Anyway, let it be known to you, O king, that your Elohim are not those we are serving. And we don't know your Elohim. And the golden image that you have set up, we will not worship. You can see how it went. We can talk about how it went later, maybe, and give you the details. But if you don't know the end of the story, King got so pissed off, he heated the furnace up like five times. It's like, I'll teach them a lesson, which I would be happy about that. It's like, yeah, turn it up. I don't want to take any chances that I'm going to like slow cook. All right. I don't want to be on a rotisserie. Turn it up five times. Like he thought he was doing them like a terrible service. Turn it up five times. That'll teach him. Oh, yeah. Great. It was like what I was telling you about the Amalekites getting killed by the armies of Saul. It's like, here, take me first. Can you take me first, Saul? Don't miss. Everybody's trying to get in line. They want to get done in first. Just, yeah, heat it up 10 times if you want. Here's the point. Our God can deliver us. Our God will deliver us. However, if he doesn't, there it is, if he doesn't. People say to me about the snatching away. They say, Martin Zender, you're pretty confident about the snatching away. Oh, yes, I'm very confident about it. It will happen. You have told us when you think it might happen. Yes, I have indeed. Well, I think it's going to happen 2.5 minutes from now. I've also had a larger picture. I said, according to the timing of the 6,000 years, that I believe it will happen soon. If not 2.5 minutes from now, then broadly speaking, maybe 2.5, 3 months from now. Will God do that? Of course he will do it. But if he doesn't, what? You're waffling, Zender. In a way, I am waffling. I know he's going to do it. I just don't know when he's going to do it. And the question is asked to me is, if he doesn't come in the spring, like you say, or you suggest he might, I don't know if he's going to come in the spring. I suggest he might for different reasons. I already gave you the reasons. They are many and plentiful, which may be the same thing. Yes, but if he doesn't, the assumption is my world will fall apart. The assumption is that I no longer trust God. The assumption is that I will admit that I'm wrong and I will slink away in despair, shame, and humiliation and cast myself into a fiery furnace where I will never hear John Denver's song ever again, including Country Roads. Yeah. This is not the case, my friends, because I am of the disposition of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I know that my God is faithful, and I know that he can deliver and will deliver. However, if he doesn't deliver according to when I think he's going to deliver, even based on the most educated guess that I possibly have, I will not forsake God. It will not turn me away from him. It will not turn me away from his promise. Because even if I die, he will keep me, keep my spirit. He knows me, and though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Nobody is ever going to say about me, just because I know the faith that is been given me. And I hope that you have this same confidence, that we rely on ourselves. We believe scriptural revelation, but where there is no scriptural revelation, we will proffer hypotheses and state them to be just that and only that. Let God be true, though every man a liar. Many people can say when they think the snatching away will happen. The reason it hasn't happened yet is because 6,000 years from Adam hasn't expired yet, but I believe it will expire soon. If I'm wrong, I still won't serve this world. I still will not deny what God said is going to happen. There are many examples of, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Job, let's go there real quick before the end of the show. Job 13:15. Behold, he may dispatch me. This is a concordant version. Look at here, I got the whole concordant Old Testament in one volume. Though he may dispatch me, yet I shall wait for him. Listen to this verse in other versions. This is beautiful, and I'll close with this. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. That's the NIV, the New Living Translation, not generally a translation you rely upon. It's a paraphrase, but I like it. Listen to this. God might kill me, but I have no other hope. I'm going to argue my case with him. God might kill me. God might kill me before the snatching away. He might delay the snatching away longer than I think it might be. Will you then denounce your position? No, I will not denounce my position. Because the position, the fact of the snatching away is true. English Standard Version, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Even if he doesn't deliver us, said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will not worship the golden image. They didn't have a promise that God would deliver them from the fire. Otherwise, they would have said, we're not worried because we know God's going to deliver us. Try it. Throw us in three times. Nothing's going to happen. We're not going to burn up. They didn't have that specific word from God. They didn't know. We do not have a specific word from God as to when the snatching away will take place. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know it's going to be Tuesday at 11. We don't know the date. We don't know the year. It has not been revealed to us. Therefore, we can't say with a definitive answer when. We know that, but we don't know when. We know that it will happen. We don't know when it will happen. But even if it doesn't happen when we think it's going to happen, we will not deny it. We will not deny our God. Let God be true, though every man a liar. And we certainly will not let anyone make us bow down to any John Denver song.